Planning Committee for Charnwell Borough Council. My name is Hilary Fryer and I'm the chair of this meeting. Please note that this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be made available on the Council's website following the meeting. Under the openness of local government bodies regulations, people may film or record this meeting, and this is outside of the Council's control. However, people wishing to film or record the meeting should do so in a way that does not disrupt the business of the meeting. Also, so that the meeting is not disturbed, could I ask everyone present to please turn off your mobile phones or switch them to silent and ensure that the meeting is distraction-free. Voting will be undertaken by a show of hands, for, against, or abstain. Speakers will be called forward at the appropriate time by myself and brought into the room accordingly. They may stay in the public gallery for the debate of their item, but following that they may be asked to leave by myself to ensure continued social distancing. Speakers have 5 minutes each, and they will be timed by a Democratic Services officer. When you have 1 minute remaining, you will be advised. We do have a traffic light system, green, amber, red. When it becomes 1 minute, you will have an amber sign, but the Democratic officer will advise you. But if you're still speaking when it's red, I'm afraid you do cut you off. I'd like to confirm all those are present. And if you would please all check your microphones that they work. Councillor Bentley?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor Council?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor Capleton?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor Charles?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor Forrest?
Yes, Chair. Thank you.
Councillor Gerrard?
Yes, Chair. Thank you.
Councillor Grigley?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor Hamilton?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor Lowe?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor Poland?
Yes, Chair.
Councillor Ransom?
Yes, Chair.
And Councillor Tillotson?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. I also confirm verbally the officers that are in attendance. Jacqueline Jackson, who is the Group Leader of Development Management. Lewis Marshall, the Principal Planning Officer. Sean Robson, another Principal Planning Officer. Louise Winston, who is on her way, clean stuff like some of the rest of you were in traffic, but she is here to work again. Catherine Harrison, our legal advisor to the committee. And Sally Watson, Democratic Services. And Mr. Steve Holmes is doing the outside looking after our speakers and everything. We have 5 applications tonight with speakers to all of them. And as I come to each application, I will indicate who will be speaking. Item 1 on the agenda, apologies. Have we received any apologies?
Chair, we've received apologies from Councillor Savage and we've got Councillor Poland as a substitute this evening.
Thank you very much and welcome, Councillor Poland. The minutes of the previous meeting, I'm asking the committee to confirm the correct record the minutes of the meeting held on the 26th of August, and I would like you to confirm by a show of hands that the minutes are correct. Thank you. The minutes of the previous meeting have been confirmed as a correct record and I will sign them and they will be passed to Democratic Services at the end of this meeting. Item 3, questions under Committee Procedure 12.8. I have not been advised of any questions. Could I ask the Democratic Officer to confirm, please?
Chair, there's been no questions submitted for the meeting.
Thank you. item 4, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest. Does anybody have any disclosures of interest? Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. Application P182600-4/2. I'll be speaking on that application as the board councillor. So the opposition of the board committee will speak on that.
Thank you. Councillor Forrest.
Thank you, Chair. Like Councillor Grimley, I will be speaking at this meeting. I will speak here on the last item of your agenda. Thank you.
Does anybody have Councillor Tillotson? Thank you, Chair. Yes, the item that Councillor Forrest referred to, the last item on the agenda, it's in my ward, as it's in Councillor Forrest's ward, but I've had no involvement and I've come to the meeting for all time. Thank you. Is there anybody else that would share an interest? Thank you. We have five planning applications, and I indicated earlier that there are five applications to consider, and their details are set out in the agenda and the expert report. So, on to the planning applications. Item 1, which is application number P21107982, Mr. and Mrs. Tandon, this Phillies Grand Lane Woodhouse East. As per public speaking and planning procedures, we will now follow the steps. There will be a presentation by the officer, Mr. Lewis Marshall, and then there will be three speakers. There will be a Ms. Daly, and Mr. Tandon, and the parish council, Ms. A. Irving. The ward councillor, Councillor Smart, is not able to be with us this evening. So if I could pass now to, the timer is set for 5 minutes and there's 1 minute warning. So I'll now pass to Mr. Marshall to do his presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Can everybody hear me okay? The first item on the agenda, we're going to be taking items 1 and 2 together. They are linked in that one is for full planning permission and the other is for listed building consents. The applications seek partial demolition of the existing listed building and conservatory and the erection of a two-storey side extension and associated internal works. As part of the planning application, there's also a proposed detached garage building and a new access gate. So this plan shows the site location. The site itself is etched in red. It's accessed from Grand Lane, which is located outside of the settlement limits of Woodhouse Seas. It is within the countryside, however it does also fall within the Woodhouse Conservation Area. The site is a large detached dwelling, dated from 1901. As I said earlier, it's a Grade 2 listed building of the arts and crafts era. There are a number of neighbouring properties around the site, so there's Oakwood here to the north, which is the original gate lodge to the property, now under separate ownership. There is Pinewood here, and then the nearest unrelated neighbouring property is the former coach house. This is a satellite image of the site, obviously, which shows its characteristics in more detail. As you can see here, the site is well screened and defined by existing trees and hedgerows. There are a number of TPOs on the site, none which are affected by the proposal, but they are this group here, which sits either side of Grand Lane, that is covered by a group TPO. And this line of trees here on this southern boundary is also covered by tree protection order. These are photographs of the building itself. So this is the front elevation, obviously an attractive arts and crafts style detached dwelling set within mature landscape grounds. And again, this is the rear elevation. This is a drone shot of the site, which was provided as part of the application, as it gives a sense of the dwelling and its surrounding context, and also the wider context as well. As I said earlier, obviously you can see the well-defined and mature boundaries which are aligned with trees and hedgerows. And again, you can see here, this is the closest unrelated neighbouring property, which is the coach house. These are some more photographs, particularly the rear elevation. Again, just obviously demonstrates its setting, which obviously is largely defined by its rural treed nature. And obviously, this is a close-up image of the rear elevation. And I wanted to focus on this image in particular because it does show the sections of the building which are proposed for demolition in more detail, which are later additions. Not original to the house. That includes the conservatory here, which is a sort of late 20th century, fairly sympathetic addition. And then this sort of projecting stairwell, flat roofed element. And again, this, which links with this additional sort of service wing as well, which is housed as a study at the first floor and additional bedrooms above. Again, that third image is just showing sort of a shot of the rear elevation again, so the conservatory there and this additional rear wing. And you can see where the pointer is there or just above, where that sort of flat roof element projects out there, which is proposed for demolition. So this slide again just tries to show or clarify which parts of the building are proposed for demolition. So they are the parts of the building which are shaded in the darker colour. So this is as seen from the rear elevation, and this is as seen from the front elevation. This is site location plan that also shows the location of the various different proposals. So with the main dwelling itself, the extension is limited to this southern aspect, in this location here, and then the proposed attached garage building is located here within an existing clearing adjacent to what is the tennis court there. And then in terms of what that looks like in terms of proposals, it is a contrasting contemporary sort of interventionist approach to the design. It is a two-storey recessive extension, so it's subordinate to the original and the main dwelling. It is set back and set in from the front and rear elevations. It's largely glazed with the use of sort of bronze wraparound cladding material at first floor and contrasting brick at ground floor. And then again, this is just the rear elevation. Again, it just shows the sort of the glazed link, providing a clear distinction between what is the new extension and the house as it was originally built. There are a number of other sort of smaller alterations to the listed building which members will need to be aware of. So they are typically on the external elevations. They are just the addition of a number of smaller roof lights to provide additional light to the rooms internally. These are the side elevations. So this is the elevation looking in a northerly direction. So as you can see, this is the proposed extension. Which obviously demonstrates that it is subordinate and recessive to the existing buildings. Obviously, it's encased and enclosed by the backdrop of the existing building. And from the other side, again, you can't see the extension from this elevation. It's obviously set behind the house. But just members, just to be aware of just that one additional roof light there, which forms part of the proposals. This is a sort of roof plan or block plan, just showing the proportions or the footprint of the extension in more detail. Obviously, its proximity to the boundary shared with the neighbouring property. There are a small number of trees that would need to be or are proposed for removal. It's 5 in total, so there are 4 Leylandii trees of relatively poor quality and a cedar tree, which proposed removal just to provide some more space and light around the proposed extension. But members will see in the conditions that there is a condition recommended that would include additional tree planting as compensation for that. These are some CGI images which have been provided as part of the application as well. So I suppose this just shows what the proposed extension would look like sort of in reality as opposed to on plan. So you get a better sense of the scale and proportion and where that sits in relation to the existing dwelling. So obviously the key element here is this it's a highly contemporary flat roofed addition, which is obviously not seeking to emulate the existing dwelling. So the design approach here is one of complete contrast, so that it allows for the existing historic building to remain the sort of more dominant original feature on the site. And again, the flat roof to sort of contrast the sort of strong gabled architecture of the original historic dwelling. And again, from the rear as well, again, so just that glazed link, providing that separation, that distinction between the two elements. Just quickly, this is the proposed outbuilding, which is located in that clearing adjacent to the tennis court. It's a more sort of modest structure designed to sort of reflect the sort of arts and crafts era and style of the main dwelling. So timber framed and timber clad, obviously to also reflect the location within on the edge of the Charnwood Forest. There's also a newly proposed gate at the access point with Grand Lane, which is proposed as part of the planning application. And that is just a fairly simple barbed wire metal gate, which is sympathetic to, in officer's opinion, is sympathetic to the sort of character and appearance and the rural nature of Brown Lane. So in terms of key issues for members, the site is located outside of the defined settlement limits and is located in the countryside, but there are no policies that restrict the extension or alteration of existing dwellings in such locations, and therefore the principle of proposed development is acceptable. In terms of the visual and landscape impact, the building is located within a site that is densely screened from Grand Lane and cannot proceed from any other public vantage points. Any impact is therefore limited to the immediate site and its setting. The immediate setting is characterised by the presence of the large dwelling and its established gardens, which is bound by mature trees. The proposal to extend and build within this setting would therefore not erode or harm this character or the character of the wider countryside generally. It is considered that the application calls for policies CT1, CT2 and CS11. Moving on to design and amenity, members will need to consider any harm in terms of the demolition of the existing later additions. The proposed demolition will return the proportions of this wing of the house to its original design. The proposed extension will subsequently be more visually distinct from the house through the use of link glazing and bronze casing to create distinct lines of old and new. The contrast between the original building and the contemporary extension forms a well-established interventionist architectural approach to the design and evolution of historic buildings, and there is no objection in principle to this approach. In terms of the scale and proportion of the proposed extension, it is considered that the extension, when read against the most principal elevations of the building, i.e. the front and rear, it would represent a subservient addition which allows for the original historic building to remain the most dominant feature on the site. In terms of the proposed outbuilding, this is situated within a wooded enclave away from the main house and is proposed to be constructed in a traditional style of timber and slate to reflect the woodland setting and the era of the original house. Overall, it is considered that the design accords with policies CS2, EV1, H17, H6 and the design SPD. In terms of amenity, concerns have been raised that the proposal would result in the loss of privacy to the occupiers of the nearest dwelling, the coach house, which is on its southeastern side. The distance of the proposed extension to the coach house at its nearest point is approximately 22 metres. When taking into account predominantly side-facing relationship of the two dwellings and the fact that the private garden area of the coach house is situated out of view and obscured by the building itself, it is not considered that there would be any material loss of privacy to the occupiers of this dwelling. Whilst the proposed includes the removal of trees within the site to provide them space and light, the proposed extension is not considered that the removal of the trees proposed would lead to an intricate view between properties. Accordingly, it is not considered that the proposal result in an unacceptable detrimental impact in regards to residential amenity. In terms of heritage, it is considered that the proposal would at least preserve the character and appearance of the conservation area and would contribute towards the evolution of this house and its contribution it makes to the conservation area, with a high quality contrasting statement piece of architecture. The design approach of the proposal is considered to be successful in temporary interventionist approach, but it still very much conserves the original building's arts and crafts architecture. In terms of the proposed garage outbuilding, due to the distance and degree of natural screening together with the sensitive traditional approach to the design and use of materials, it is not considered that the proposed building would have any impact on the setting of the listed building. The proposed metal fiberboard gate would provide security for occupiers and would present a modest, sympathetic design appropriate to the style of the original house. The overall harm identified in respect of the designated heritage assets is considered to be very minor and less than substantial. In accordance with the NPPF, where there is less than substantial harm to a heritage asset, this should be weighed against the public benefits of the proposal. In this case, the public benefits are acknowledged to be the creation of a more sustainable dwelling in the long term, construction jobs during the construction process, and adapting the building to suit modern day living will ensure its longevity as a single family dwelling and therefore preserve its significance as a heritage asset for the future, which should be given positive weight. In terms of highway safety and access, the proposal would ensure the building remains a single family unit and would not increase parking pressures, nor would it intensify the use of the access. The proposal is acceptable in respect of highway safety and parking. The application is supported by a protected species survey. Overall, the habitats within the site are considered to be of limited ecological value, with only small areas considered to have the potential to support protected species. Removal of a small number of trees and hedgerows would not cause significant impact, and mitigation could be made as part of the design, with integrated roosting and nesting features, and through additional landscaping which can be secured by conditions. The application is therefore recommended for approval for this planning application, as set out in the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marshall. If I may now call the speakers forward. The first one is Ms. S. Daly.
And that both internal and external walls appear to be sound. and the report recommends two measures to deal with the occasional flooding in the basement, demolition not being one of them. Now, my parents lived in that house for 40 years and maintained it to a very high standard. They kept on top of any minor structural problems that arose and never encountered major ones. And the house was in really good order when it was sold 5 years ago, as can be seen from the agent's photographs. And the house was only empty for a month before the current owners took possession. So it's very surprising that, assuming that regular maintenance has been carried out, major structural defects should have manifested themselves within only 5 years. And my second concern is the proposed design. The committee will be very well aware that the Woodhouse parishes have a very distinctive architecture, a style I'm very familiar with from working on the heritage section of the neighbourhood plan. And the core materials of this architecture are stone, slate and rendered brick, and most of the extensions and new builds in the conservation area are in keeping with this, in line with legislation including CS2 and CS14. However, the proposed ultra-modern design using different materials is not in keeping and is very unsympathetic to this very fine example of arts and crafts design. But the aspect of the plans to which I have the strongest objection, because it removes my privacy, is the proposal to remove the trees, G8, which screen my property, the coach house, from the spinneys. Now, several of the statements in favour of the plan say that the house cannot be seen from outside. This is only because my house is screened by the Lelandii hedge, which was planted by my parents as soon as they moved into the spinneys, because the coach house was so close to it and could be clearly seen. If those Lelandii are removed, then because the spinneys is on higher ground than my house, its upper floor windows will look directly down into all the windows at the back of my house, not side on. The justification for removing the trees is to allow more space and light, but the spinneys is set in 6 acres with open aspects all around except the conifers, so it already enjoys plenty of space and light. And admittedly, the Lelandii are not a native species, but nonetheless, they do provide a habitat for wildlife, notably goldcrests. And surely it's better to have non-native trees than no trees at all, or saplings that are going to take years and years to grow. So I'm
1 minute remaining.
To the committee that they insist on the retention of the Lelandii hedge, screening my house, that I can continue to have the privacy that I have had for almost 40 years. And I would also respectfully ask the committee to consider the following. Is the demolition of a Grade 2 listed building adequately justified? Is the proposed design appropriate for this conservation and heritage area? And would the approval of this demolition design set a dangerous precedent for future conservation area planning applications? Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. Did you want to come back now with the last woman for the end of the speakers? Thank you. I now call on Mr. Tandon. Again, Mr. Tandon, you have 5 minutes, and it will indicate, the double correct option will indicate to you that when you have 1 minute left. So when you're ready, the time will start.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Councillor, for coming to listen to our application this afternoon evening. I'm afraid, I think Mr. Marshall has already said what exactly we plan. We bought the house in good with the respect of improving it and making it a sort of a house that we could possibly live in. At the time we bought it, it wasn't in a fantastic state. It was, there were areas of leakage, the floor sinking in places, and we thought at that time, and we were advised by our architect at that time, maybe the best option would be to knock it down and start again, which was unfortunately a really wrong advice to get, and we don't obviously use that architect anymore. Following the listing of the building, we've had, we've learned a lot about the house. I've come to admire many features inside it, a lot of the woodwork in particular. I respect arts and crafts house within the Ernest Crimson era, and there are many other houses in the area, which in the Woodhouse Parish, which you know I've not come to. So I see myself as a custodian of this house's future. So really, this application, we've done everything the council has asked us to do, which is a specialist heritage person, a specialist architect. We've seen ecological surveys to look at anything that might be, we might be disturbing in our work that we're planning, including bats, trees. We've used engineers to look at whether there's any issues at the house, and there are small issues, which we've all highlighted. And in particular, we're looking at energy efficiency. The house is very hard to heat. It has an insulation, and our idea is to make it energy efficient. In today's current environment, that is a big issue with the fact of a big carbon footprint and so on. We did a pre-application as a council request, and then the design follows on from the pre-application. I know that there are objections, particularly from my neighbour. Unfortunately, that house that my neighbour lives in was part of the Spinneys. It was the coach house of the Spinneys. It set right angles to the property, and therefore was never designed to be a private dwelling. But I respect the fact that it is a private dwelling, and there are trees there, but unfortunately those trees are laylanders. There are creaking, they are going to fall down, they are 45 years old. Generally these laylanders are 25, 90 years, I don't know. They may fall down, but they do creak, and there are concerns it will fall on the listed building. So I understand the privacy. If the trees do go, but my neighbour could put down more trees, we will put more trees elsewhere, but also I will put in bamboos or whatever that will provide for the privacy. So really, in summary, we've got a nice house, which is a 1901 house built in 1901. It was built as a hunting lodge for a wealthy family in Leicester, who obviously came up to use it as a holiday home. It was never built as a residence for anyone. It was they came up for the weekend and went home, and never became a family home. So our proposal is purely to improve the house to make it a family home. It will involve some modernisation, but as expressed by Mr. Mitchell, we plan to keep 95% of the house. And the small part that we suggested that we removed was never part of the house. So we looked at various plans, various heritage plans. None of them show this portion to be there. It's been added on top of a oil tank. The study that we proposed to
1 minute.
It sits on top of a large oil tank. In fact, people that have come to the house, including Martin Jones, a conservation, smell of oil. There is oil in that, a smell of oil in that study, and that's the only small portion we plan to remove. There isn't any other part. The servants' quarters are staying intact. In fact, they're going to be converted to another bedroom, so that it actually will be used. At the moment, it sits idle. So really, our objective is to convert this house into a modern family home, and not only for us, for the comfort of me, my family, but also for the comfort of future families for many generations to come.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tandon. I now call on Councillor Irving on behalf of the Tassie Council. We didn't want to come back to that later. Thank you, Ms. Dudley. When you're ready,
yes,
you have your file.
I have to say, I'm not councillor. I was the clerk for 15 years.
Oh,
but okay. I am now retired.
But you are speaking on behalf of the.
Yes, I got a late call this morning to say that I stand in. So
you're speaking on behalf of
the parish council. I'm speaking on behalf of the parish council.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm going to read it because I think that's easier and quicker. I wanted to say at the beginning, I do have some sympathy for the current occupant, because when they bought this property, it wasn't listed. But we are where we are, and it is now a Grade 2 listed building. And if I can use Martin Jones's quote, it is an extremely fine example of the arts and crafts style of architecture. So we are where we are, and the property is now nationally listed. And listing, as you know, is to protect the buildings as much as possible. Unfortunately, the listing has already saved it from demolition. But I wanted to draw committee members to attention to three significant issues. First one is your commitment to the climate emergency. And I want you to consider the investment in energy and materials that went into the original building and the energy, materials and manpower that will be required to undertake the proposed works. And consider at the same time the waste that will be destined for landfill if part of this building is demolished. And the industry claims to be short of materials and manpower while the country needs more homes. And the proposed work uses up resources without adding to the housing stock. An alternative tactic, of course, is to make repairs where they are needed. And I would like to say that we don't really need to reflect on the past errors, you know, if there were extensions put up that weren't up to scratch, although I disagree with that. We couldn't see anything in the proposal that would minimise or mitigate the impact or provide net gain in biodiversity, which is another part of the planning application that concerns us. The document provided lists of many of the species found in this area because it is a very rich heritage, and although a lot of the records on that list are withheld, they do indicate a very wide range of, for example, bat species in this part of Charnwood because of the local woodlands. Second point is about historic building repairs. And mention was made of the damp. And it's clear, I think, why this might be. It's down from Beacon Hill and Windmill Hill, and it is possible that there is a land drain that's failing because there is a water course alongside this site, which wasn't actually mentioned in the structure report. And it's possible that's blocked or missing, and that's not uncommon in this part of the world. And Historic England's Care of Building Research tells us that impermeable flooring, for example, the concrete flooring, can also cause moisture to accumulate below it, and that it can rise up through the walls. So there may be a number of reasons why that floor is sinking. The policy that Charnwood has argued that replacement dwelling proposals, would be permitted only if dwellings were unsuitable for habitation or not viable to repair. And I don't think that's the case with the Spinneys. It was occupied as a family home, as Ms. Daly has mentioned. And of course, it's not modern. But it's not modern along the same lines as the Herrick Arms houses in Woodhouse that I'm a trustee for, or it's not modern like Bonanna Hall, Garrett's Hay, or even Windsor Castle. And that's partly why these buildings are appealing and why they're all listed. So Historic England say that a conservative approach is fundamental to good conservation, keeping changes to a minimum, and that the unnecessary replacement of historic fabric, no matter how carefully the work is carried out, can in most situations have an adverse effect on the character and significance. And Mr. Bradwell, even himself, quotes Historic England by saying, any new work should not dominate the original asset in either scale or material. And the third point is design. There's an awful lot of architect speak in the documents on the website, and mostly they relate to a form of personal taste. You either like ultra-modern extensions attached to
1 minute
older listed buildings, or you don't. And I think that the pictures that have been supplied onto the website show that this very modern extension, with its new materials, is really not harmonising at all, or complementing. So the Parish Council felt very strongly that you should reject this application or this particular kind of extension. And remember that one day it might be open to the public. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Marshall, would you want to come back?
Yes, please, thank you. Through you, Chair. It's worth pointing out first, obviously, it is a great listed building, but that does not preclude extensions and alterations to it. It just means that the council has a greater level of control over any future potential proposed alterations or extensions. In terms of policy CT14, which I believe the lady from the parish council was referring to, now that policy isn't relevant here. That policy relates to wholesale replacement of dwellings in the countryside. Obviously, this is not a replacement, this is an extension, an alteration. So that policy and the particular criteria of that policy do not need to be met in the determination of this application. It was mentioned, obviously, the demolition of part of the existing building. It's probably worth going back to some of the first photographs so members can see that again. Obviously, this shows the sort of key elements of it. Obviously, there is this sort of very unsympathetic flat-roofed element there which sort of projects out, and you can see there on this elevation, it does conflict with this sort of strong sense of gable architecture. And the conservation officer, the council conservation officer, is confident and satisfied that this part of the building is not original, was not part of the building as it was built in 1901. It is of a lesser quality, and there are other service areas within the original building. Mention made of the sort of the structural condition of the building. I think it should be made clear that the officer's recommendation for its demolition is not based on the structural quality of that part of the building. Officer's recommendation is that because we consider that the replacement is of equal to or higher quality than the part of the building that is going to be demolished. Privacy was mentioned. Obviously, the building, a lot of the dwelling, obviously, is in a well secluded position. It's well landscaped. However, just because you may be able to see a neighbouring property, that in itself doesn't mean that there's going to be an unacceptable loss of privacy. There's still 22 metres from between each dwelling. In terms of the guidance that we go by, the design SPD states that where there is a back-to-back distance, where there are principal rooms opposing each other, the minimum distance it should be is actually 21 metres, but obviously here we don't have a back-to-back situation where principal rooms are looking towards one another. So on that basis, I think it would be very difficult to justify any reason for refusal on account of a loss of privacy. Finally, biodiversity was raised again, also put this in the presentation, but the application has been supported by survey work, which has been looked at by the council's senior ecologist. He's satisfied that following the recommendations within that survey for mitigation proposal, which can be secured by condition, would be sufficient to avoid any net loss in terms of biodiversity, and that is set out in condition 6 within the report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marshall. I have 5 speakers, so the whole council is wanting to speak. 6 councillors wanting to speak. So if we start with Councillor Just a moment. Miss, would you like to come in?
Yeah, sorry, just to make sure it's absolutely clear to members, whilst we've done the presentation and speaking together, you do have to take 2 votes. So we'll be debating the planning application and voting, and then the listed building will be debated and voted on separately. Just so the members are clear as you go into the debate that you will be taking 2 separate votes. Sorry to interrupt.
That's all right. Thank you. Mr. Councillor Graylin.
Thank you, Chair. Sort of become aware of personal interest in dealing with the staff of the parish council through employment. I've not spoken to her about this particular application. I'm happy to have open mind, so I just want that to be recorded. It's good to see on this application that we have drone footage, given the application being supported by CGI as well. I think that does help members see proper 3Ds. I do. Yeah, like see, there's a big thing the planning officer should try and get these more often on applications like this. I think the main issue on the is the demolition that is to be considered, and I think certainly part of it is a flat roofed area. I think it's whether or not it was built at the same time, it doesn't appear to be, but we don't know. But the area concerns don't sort of appear to be fully in keeping with the main part of the property. So I don't know whether big people may disagree with me, but design is it is a bit subjective, but good design is recognised as good design. I think the contemporary design here does work, sometimes it doesn't. We do see contemporary designs working within conservation areas quite often and doing well, so there's no precedent to be set there. I think it is good to see a good contemporary design, and I'll be supporting this application.
Thank you very much. Councillor Poland.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation, Mr. Marshall. My question is actually around the trees, the Landai trees between the Coach House and the property. Is it absolutely essential that they're removed for this application to work, or is it possible for that them to be retained whilst completing the rest of the extension and work as that?
Thank you,
Councillor. Thank you, Chair. Firstly, the attitude of the application as it's presented to us. Obviously, the applicant is seeking to remove five trees, as I mentioned during the presentation. Four of those are Leilandii, not a particularly high quality species, not native. One of them is a poorer quality cedar tree. If members were to insist that those trees were to be retained, the only way that we could do that would be by serving TPO on them. The council tree officer has been consulted in connection with this application. She is satisfied and she's content with the removal of those trees. So on that basis, I see it extremely likely that it would be possible to serve a TPO on them to preserve them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marshall. Councillor Gerrard.
So in terms of the dating of the later edition, we don't have an exact date for that. I think in the report that was compiled by Historic England, a listed report that was listed, that does confirm that they believe it's not original to the house, it's not by 201, and that view is also corroborated by the council's conservation. So, don't have an exact date for it. We know that it would be pre-planning. The planning system was brought in 1948. There was no record of those extensions ever gaining permission, so we think it's pre-1948. But we are confident that it's not part of the original house. And I think it's worth pointing out that obviously it would remove that later addition, and that later addition does sort of form part of the story of the house and how it's evolved over the years. Obviously that is a harm, or that is a harm that needs to be accounted for in the balance. But obviously any harm, as I said in the presentation, needs to be weighed up against the public benefits. Obviously there are clear public benefits here. It would make the house more sustainable in the long term, it would make it suitable for single family living, it would ensure that it is retained as a single family unit. In terms of the roof lights, again, you can see on this drawing here where they are, on this CGI here. We don't have the exact details of those, so they are subject to a condition in the report. Yes, so it's condition 3 on page 21. So the council would retain control over the exact detail and specification of those alterations externally.
Thank you very much. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Chair. I do think it's sad about the trees. I think that's extremely sad, but I do take on board what the officers have said. As far as the land line, I think it was sure to get to go on them. I quite like it. I like the extension that the point up. I think the contrast between the old and the new will shine on the old, and make the heritage of the property look a lot better. It's very similar to what they've done around Leicester Cathedral, but any councillors go to Leicester Cathedral. They've altered that with modern buildings. So on that note, I propose we accept officer's recommendation, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor.
I would be happy to second that, Chair.
Thank you. I now have Councillor Tillotson.
Thank you, Chair. I have a couple of questions and then some comments. Mr. Marshall, you've referred a few times now to, if we agree this, it will help this property remain a single dwelling. Why, if we don't agree it, is that at risk? I don't follow that logic at all. And so I don't know where you want to answer that before I go on to my next point.
Brilliant, Chair, thank you. So the building is not at risk right now in terms of being used for any other purpose. It is in use as a single family unit at the moment. But obviously this proposal would ensure that it would remain as a single family unit for the longer term, rather than it being sold off potentially and divided into flats. Obviously that is a hypothetical. But as I said, you know, there is public benefit in extending the dwelling to make it suitable for 21st century living to ensure that it remains as a single family unit.
I'm still not sure I follow the logic, but we'll leave that there. Now, we've had a few comments about which bits of the building are going to be demolished. Now, I know the conservatory is going to be demolished, and I've got no problem with that at all. 20 years ago, that would have probably been considered a modern extension, wouldn't it? But it's the bit of flat roof extension, but I'm sure on one of the diagrams that you showed there, yeah, so it's not just the flat roof extension, it's also that pitch roof part of the building as well that's going to be demolished. So it isn't just that little flat roof bit that sticks out. So I'm not sure of the justification for that, frankly. I've no problem with modern extensions to historic buildings, but I think this is at risk of tearing the heart out of this building. So I'm struggling to support it, really, I think. Not made my mind up yet, but thank you.
Thank you, Councillor.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm amazed, really. I think it's shocking. I love the old building with its gables and red brickwork. And this is the extension. It looked like a 1970s carriage. We used to come inside. I remember the wooden carriage with the flask and the big window screen. It just won't be in keeping, you know. And it's well known fact that these big windows kill more wildlife every year. And it's stuck in an area where there's bats and woodpeckers and all sorts of features. But the flash are in those windows, you know. So I can't support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Benjamin.
Yes, thanks, Chair. I can't see that the loss of this part that's shaded pink on this diagram is really going to take anything away from the main body of the building. It's almost like an extension off the end, which would probably really shouldn't even be there. I don't see by removing that it's going to have any detriment at all to the main property. I think there's two ways of doing an extension. One is to do it completely different. The other is to try and copy the original style of the property. I think by trying to copy this in its original style, it will just turn out to be a 21st century extension of an arts and crafts house, and it will look dreadful. I actually don't particularly like it per se, but I think it's looks like a quality extension on a quality house, and personally it wouldn't be for me, but we're not here to discuss what I personally like or don't like. But as an application, I've supported it by seconding the officer recommendation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Councillor.
Thank you to you, Chair. I just wanted to talk to members just quickly because I think there's a lot of personal likes and dislikes in the room. And I just wanted to remind members of their design training. Now that's not to say that you have to accept this design, but what you personally like or don't like isn't really the matter here. It's whether it's good design and an appropriate design for this development. And you know, you'll recall we talk about scale and form and things like that in the design training. So it's just if members, if there is something about the design, we need to express it in design terms, so why it's not an appropriate design rather than likes, personal likes. So it's just to remind members to think in that way. Thank you.
Thank you. Did you want to come back on? Councillor Ransom.
Thank you, Chair. The one thing that is concerning me is that some of my colleagues around the table is the screening for the privacy of the actual gatehouse, whatever. Is there anything we can do with guarding this for this family? I know it's 22 feet or 22 metres away, it's within the relative. The fact is, an old house is an old house, you have to put other things to it, but if we could actually do something towards for that family, I do feel that maybe us we could put in a condition. I know the council is going to be keeping a close eye on it because it's in a conservation area and everything, and I agree with the bats and everything that's going on over there is quite in a wooded area. So it's just, I do feel that maybe we should actually give a little bit of consideration to the adjoining neighbours.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Before I go back to Mr. Mark, I'd be delighted to see that there is a discussion that integrated bird and bat boxes could be considered. That's on page 19. This is for consideration, obviously, by the applicant, but we are concerned about it. Also, there is in the report, I believe the applicants are looking carefully at putting in more trees and things. On a personal note, I would just say if we were going to support having more trees in the areas that they landed, it's the last tree I would suggest. Having had them in my own garden, not by me, they take an awful lot of maintenance. So that's all I would say. Councillor Perrin, you wanted to come back quickly, then I'll go to Mr. Marshall.
Yeah, thanks. Just really to follow on from Councillor Anson's question, is it possible to put it as a condition that the trees are replaced potentially with a domestic or sort of native species? So actually, is that something we can do within our power tonight?
Thank you. I'll pass to you, Mr. Marshall. What I have not, as you said, the Leylandii trees are actually part of the within the boundary of this application. Thank you. If you'd like.
Thank you, through you, Chair. Again, I think the members' concerns in terms of the loss of this small number of trees has been around the impact on the neighbour and their privacy. I can only reiterate the point which Councillor Manson made herself. The distance here is well in excess of the guidance contained within our design SPD. Just because the removal of some of the trees might provide glimpses between the two properties is not in itself an inherent loss of privacy or material loss of privacy that justify either a refusal of planning permission or a condition that would require specific planting to be replaced in that particular location. There is a condition recommended on page 21, condition 4, which will require details of the additional planting to be provided. And obviously we can have regard for the neighbour in terms of the exact position and species of those. But I don't think it wouldn't be obvious recommendation that members could impose a condition requiring new planting in that particular location.
Thank you. Councillor
Griffin,
you wanted to come back.
Yeah, just following on from comments about the screening and planting in the Leylandii hedge. I think the Leylandii hedge, as it's a group of Leylandii, could be cut down a few times by the applicant. I believe I've dealt with this before, but that's something the kids obviously haven't done so far, but we just need sort of double check. There was mention of bamboo screening, which I think is, I've seen these go up before, and they're not really conducive to sort of native species. I mean, as a screen would be good if the client could, or applicant could commit to, you know, putting in a screen in, but I probably would want to avoid bamboos. They do actually grow rapidly, extremely high, and difficult to control, but that's just because of something I just wanted to make.
Thank you very much, Councillor. I'll come back to Councillor Mr. Marshall, I know you've been there with you, and then we will. Councillor Gerrard, are you bringing something new to the matter? And also then it's Councillor Charles.
The extension is not in keeping with the house or surrounding areas.
Thank you. Councillor Charles.
And this is the last.
I'm afraid that this is the last speaker. We've been with a very good discussion tonight. And then I'll go to Mr. Mark.
Thank you, Chair. A question, if I may. The property's in the conservation area. We now see that we have a neighbourhood plan. I'm just interested into the lack of insistence on the use of suitable materials.
Through you, Chair. I guess suitable materials is a subjective matter. There is a particular policy in the neighbourhood plan, which is actually quite supportive of contemporary style and contemporary development. I think the point I need to make here is this extension is not trying to emulate the existing building. It is supposed to be a contrasting. It's supposed to be in a contrasting style so that it better reveals the significance of the original building. Having said that, I think obviously the officer's view is Maritime Conservation Officer, and I do believe that the proposed materials are of a suitable and high quality. And obviously, there is a condition set out in the report as well, which would enable us to have complete control over those materials, because we would require samples prior to the development commencing.
Thank you, Mr. Marshall. Just before I go to the vote, just for clarification from either Ms. Jackson or our legal, and also from Councillor Lowe, is, are you proposing acceptance of this item and the next item? Because we have two separate votes, or do we need another proposal in the second?
We need to, this proposal, as I understand it, is for item one, so the full planning application, and then after we've voted on that, you'll need a new proposal for item two, which is the listed building
part. Thank you very much. So, we're looking at item one, we're looking at the application, it's being proposed by Councillor Lowe, seconded by Councillor Bentley, that we go with officer's recommendation with the conditions as laid out in the report. So, could I see all those in favour, please? All those against? Three. Any abstentions? And then one. So, I will make that either Sally or Catherine. So that would be 9-4, three abstentions, three against and one abstention.
Yes, so Chair Haley. The vote is carried with a vote of 9-4, 3 against and 1 abstention.
Thank you very much. Right, we move on to item 2. We're not going through the whole report again. So this is for the listed building consent, and we've gone through the dynamic. Do I have a proposal? Councillor Lowe.
I'm happy to propose to go with Officer's recommendation, Chair.
Yeah. Thank you. And Councillor Greenway? Right. Yes.
I just wondered whether officers, I don't, we're not fully considering the item again, but I think there's a little difference in what we can send a boosted building to the mission. So I just wondered if we want to bring that, because we've got a lot to talk about what's being changed in the building. So I'm sure you've got to report.
Okay, I'll talk to Mr. Marshall. At the moment, we have a proposal in second, but I'll go to Mr. Marshall and then come back to the proposal in second.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, just a few sort of brief words. Obviously, there are different considerations between the planning application and the listed building consent. So, obviously, the scope of the considerations for the listed building consent application are limited to the impacts of the development on the heritage significance of the building, or the impact on the fabric of the building itself. I'm not going to go through all of the internal and external alterations. These are listed within the report, pages 28, 29 and 30. Overall, it is considered that the harm is less than substantial. Again, in this case, it's considered that the public benefits of the proposal outweigh the minor less than substantial harm, and therefore the proposal calls for paragraph 202 of the MPPF and policy CS14 is a core strategy. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, thanks for that. Helps if I press the right button. Does anybody want to come back on what Kevin and Mr. Martin have just reported on? Or is it fully explained here in the report? I see no questions. So at the moment we have it proposed by Councillor Lowe, seconded by Councillor Grimley. If we could, I see a show of hands, all those in favour, please. All those against? An abstention? Thank you. If you'd like to confirm, Kevin.
Yes, thank you. So that was carried too. So the proposal was carried with a vote of 11, 4 and 2 against. Just a little bit accepting that.
Thank you very much.
We had an extension this time.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much. You could, those who are not speaking, next, whatever you like.
Thank you, Chair. Members have been asked to consider an outline application for 60 dwellings with all matters reserved, apart from the means of access. If I take members through the presentation, if I can just make members aware of the extra reports and some comments that were received, and subsequently following the publication of that report, there was a further email and verbal update just to make members aware of. In terms of the extra report, further objection has been received, cite a number of points, namely that the reports of the accepting reports that make reference to a neighbouring application that was approved recently for storage and distribution, that the road safety audit, or RSA, its recommendation conflicts with a separate land ownership in that it crosses sight lines, that the Highway Authority acknowledge of problems has made no formal comments. To consider Sanders Lane to be a public highway, not a public highway, my apologies. And problems with access onto Sanders Lane need to be addressed before decisions made. Access to Sanders Lane, there's been no consideration of specific construction details. There appears to be inconsistency between the approved or suggested approved visible displays and the headrail to the frontage. The secondary access that's being proposed or is going to be utilised, which is the existing access into Sanders Lane, how will that be achieved? And noise and disturbance from nearby employment uses that hasn't been fully considered by the environmental health officers. In terms of those points, the officer's response is that the conflict between the neighbouring application, the requirements of, that were brought forward as part of that application, and conditions, and the specific from the Highway Authority were actually brought to Highway Authority's attention, together with concerns with regard to the road safety audit that accompanies the application, recommendations of the road safety audit, and all of these points were responsible to the County Highway.
perceive that the given the direction of travel of the passive path of least resistance, as it were, the most direct route into the main settlement is through the new access arrangement that's going to be proposed off St Leonard's Close. And there are a number of public footpaths in that area which will make it easy for pedestrians, cyclists and road users to gain access to the main settlement. And in terms of the potential noise and disturbance to residents from neighbouring uses, the environmental health officers have considered the surrounding area. There was a noise report submitted with it, and they have objected to the actual redevelopment of the site for residential usage, and they haven't asked for any specific conditions limiting to more windows or the like. That was the actual late information. Following that publication, there was a further email that was received about the access rights over Sabters Lane being a private road, and the potential, there is a potential for the road surface to deteriorate quickly through construction vehicles and additional vehicles to the Grantland residents will propose, and question how that additional repairs and so forth will be funded. And finally, there was a comment with regard to, as part of the road safety audit and the access arrangement, or tweaked access arrangement to Sampson Lane, there was a curb and there was a potential to a site plan to go through an existing hedge that needs to be retained as part of the separate application, the objective application. With regard to those points, those would be bear in mind it is a private road and the hedge road is on a private ownership. There's a civil matter between the parties involved. And if I can draw members' attention to the slides, I will continue with the presentation. This slide shows the applications are outlined in red. It's an existing poultry farm. There's quite large, you can see from the photographs, there are a number of large buildings, traditional large buildings with poultry use. As you can see here, members' attention is also drawn to the fact that the red line in the actual application site extends and joins the Melton Road frontage, which is along here. This second slide is an aerial photograph of the site. You can see the more modern agricultural buildings here, some older buildings here. And what is quite apparent from this photograph and illustrates a little bit better is the fact that the application site is sandwiched between residential development to the north and residential development to the actual east of the site. These are the industrial or commercial activities that I mentioned earlier. These photographs just make members aware of the actual site and surrounding area. This is taken from a little bit further south as Lane, looking back towards the existing access arrangement that serves the poultry farm. This is a little bit of a closer shot of the actual access arrangement into the poultry farm. The conflict with other application uses this area here and this corner here that may well be altered by this application were it to be approved. These photographs just show the buildings within the site. These are the slightly older buildings within the poultry unit and these are more modern buildings with a few hopper distance. There's some more photographs on Sounders Lane. This is looking back down towards Melton Road. This is looking in the opposite direction, further up Sounders Lane, and where the dot is at the moment. This is this access to the commercial activity, one of the commercial activities on the lane. These photographs are taken from St Leonard's Close. This is, we'll see that in a few moments, the indicative layout. This is where the access agreement is going to go to set up the actual application site. This is just a panoramic view on St Leonard's Close. This photograph is just taken from a little bit further down St Philip's Road, where the St Philip's Road here. This is the Greyhound Public House. This is a central shot looking back at St Philip's Road with the access to St Leonard's Close corner here. Now, turning to the main considerations for members, in terms of key issues and considerations. Our development plan policies in relation to housing are considered to be out of date, and the weight attributed to them is therefore reduced, and paragraph 11D of the National Planning Policy Framework is engaged, which is the tilted balance in favour of granting permission, unless the harm of doing so time where there was an acute need for housing to exist, and the authorities in the position, the housing land shortfall, it is the case, as outlined in the report, the benefits of the scheme are considered to be significant, and any harm against the policies is outweighed by the benefits of bringing the scheme forward. In terms of affordable housing, the proposal will be achieved, or the top percent provision will be achieved as part of the development, which makes the policy compliant, and the housing mix throughout the site has yet to be agreed, but there's a condition for the application to be approved that will secure that as part of the reserve matters submission. In terms of landscape and visual impact, there are a number of designations around the area, but given the fact that the site is surrounded by some mature planting, the fact that it is an existing and active poultry farm itself, the visual impacts, there is low impact other than that on Souther's Lane, where the large buildings are visible from, but that can be improved through the introduction of landscaping as part of a reserve matters proposal. This slide just shows for members' purposes the illustrative layout, and it's illustrative how a development could be brought forward on the site for up to 60 dwellings. As soon as the proposed access arrangement towards the north of the site, which is 7 metres close, and to the east, Souther's Lane, this is the access arrangement that's proposed to be altered slightly, and this is the new access arrangement from Spinalton to St Leonard's Close, and then on to St Peter's Road. There is adequate provision on the site to accommodate open space, and the amenity will be improved by additional landscape which will be achieved to the boundaries of the site. And so just to remind his attention to this area around just sampling, this is an attenuation pond, and there's another attenuation pond to the east of the site which will retain surface water which will eventually spill out into existing facilities. Access. This is the proposed access arrangement of two proposed access elements that have been proposed onto the 7 minutes close. Highways have, the Council Highway team have actually consulted on these, and there is no objection to these. As mentioned earlier, this is the grey guy where there's been or could be a potential slight conflict between existing uses, but that could be achieved. Drainage, the site is in the flood zone 1. Surface water will be retained on the site in the attenuation plans as shown. Detention basins and control rates run off through those actual basins. In terms of infrastructure, these elements, or these amounts that are shown on here, are fully silicon piled, involving the various consultees, which will notice the will be included within section 106 when the application to be approved. Just in terms of some of the headlines, 40% affordable housing, a large contribution towards a primary school, transportation taxes and bus passes for the dwellings, open space contribution above and beyond the surface to get onto the compound site, healthcare contribution, and contribution towards the borough library. So, in terms of the planning balance and recommendation, the benefits bringing forward 60 dwellings in a time where there is an acute need for dwellings, together with 40% of which are going to be affordable, is a significant consideration. There are no technical objections to this proposal, which can't be achieved through use of or overcome through use of conditions. And in terms of conflict, I'm sorry, in terms of the harm, this is the conflict that exists in relation to the relevant policies.
again. Then to the right, look at behind Councillor Gerrard. There we are. You have 5 minutes. After 4 minutes, the Democratic officer will indicate you have 1 minute left. If you're still speaking after 5 minutes, we will pray to cut you off. Now, if you will just press your button on the right-hand side, yes, you're lit now, and as soon as you start the 5 minute timer, we'll go on. Thank you.
Great, thank you very much, everybody. My name is Ruben Birmingham. I'm the planning director for Lemstone and the applicant. Sturdee Poultry Farm is listed on the Brownfield Land Register. It is the only site identified as a future location for housing in the Burton neighbourhood plan. The site was assessed as suitable for housing by the neighbourhood planning examiner, and in the referendum of the local community in May of this year, the plan was approved with a huge majority of 85%. I appreciate the detail of the neighbourhood plan policy specifically refers to housing need being determined through the local plan review, but it's clearly the case that there is an immediate housing need in the district now. This proposal is not just about providing housing and affordable housing, though it does that. As set out in the neighbourhood plan, the smell, dust and noise from the operation of the poultry farm is a particular problem for the adjoining residents in St Philip's Road and St Leonard's Close, and sometimes affects the whole village. This is reflected in response to our pre-application community consultation exercise. 73% of those that responded were actually in favour of the redevelopment. My experience is that any support for a housing proposal is unusual, let alone 73% support. I believe this can be explained by the smell, the dust and the noise from the poultry operation, as well as the fact that the site is not a greenfield. The landowner will use the proceeds from the redevelopment of the site to relocate his farm business to a more suitable location. Without redevelopment, his only alternative is to continue to invest in the current premises and improve production there. Our proposal is 60 dwellings, which will be a density of 19 dwellings per hectare. Whilst this is lower than the typical 30 dwellings per hectare, we believe it's appropriate for an edge village location and will allow an attractive, sensitive scheme that reflects the enduring occupiers and improves the appearance of the site. The neighbourhood plan policy refers to at least 36 homes. Clearly, this policy wording does not preclude 60 dwellings. 36 units would not generate the cash needed for a relocation, nor would it represent the best use of a brownfield site at a time of housing need, as the density would be a mere 11 dwellings per hectare. We note the concern regarding the recent William Davis approval and the permitted development approval for 91 flats at the Hawker Business Park. Given the poor appearance, isolated location and cost of conversion, we consider that there is no market for the Hawker Park conversion and that it is highly unlikely to happen. The site is not being marketed in what is one of the hottest housing markets I have ever known. So in our view, the 91 base isn't a true fallback position. Also, it's worth remembering that between 2011 and 2018, only two dwellings were built in Brampton and permission granted for further 11. The Parish Council and the neighbourhood plan refer to the need for community facilities. Our discussions with them suggest that the Section 106 needs for young people in outdoor sports may not be needed in the village given the current level of provision. Should this application be approved tonight, we would support widening out the definition of the range of uses that these needs could be put in to include community uses. In my professional opinion, this would be a still compliant move that enable officers to determine how the monies could be spent in consultation with the parish and ward member at the appropriate time in accordance with the regulations. In conclusion, our site is identified in the neighbourhood plan as the future housing site in the village. This proposal not only provides housing and affordable housing in a time of need, it would enable the relocation of a nuisance use, thereby benefiting the living conditions of the neighbouring residents and improving the appearance of the area. The site is listed in your brownfield registry for 60 dwellings, and in my opinion, approving this scheme will improve the chances of resisting.
1 minute remaining.
Will improve the chances of resisting all the development proposals within the village, if that is the wish of this committee. I hope you can support your officer's recommendation.
Thank you very much,
Mr. Bellamy.
Now, we now have Mr. Lawrence. On behalf of the parish council.
some.
Right, if you'd like to come down, we can do the same place as the lorry. Right, when you are ready, you can press the button on the right hand side, and then your 5 minutes will start from there.
Councillors, I'm here representing Burton on Wards Parish Council and residents. Burton currently has 428 properties. The Planning Authority has recently approved 91 flats to be built at the Hawker Business Park in the middle of open countryside under legislation that was supposed to allow regeneration of deprived inner city areas. You've also approved 70 houses to be built at Mountain Road on a historic greenfield ridge and furrow site that is important to wildlife and carbon capture. If the application before you today is approved, that's another 60 houses, increasing our village size by 52% overnight. Looking ahead, we hear the 91 flats at Hawker may be replaced by an application for 100 houses, and an application for 56 houses is progressing on another greenfield site, which will increase the village footprint, something that should not even be possible in an other settlement. These developments grow our village by 67%. Against this backdrop, it's clear why residents are incensed by what they see as a coordinated attack on their community and way of life. Last week I attended the Soar Valley Liaison Group, where I met councillors from other villages who tell me of the same pressures. I was left wondering if we're merely paying lip service to local planning approval, and if pushback is even possible against developers who appear to be cynically gaming the system by manipulating the 5-year housing supply to obtain unfettered access to sites they regard as more profitable. Whilst planning applications are considered individually, the exception to this must surely be on the subject of sustainability, where it would be nonsensical to ignore the cumulative impact of all the approved developments on facilities and services. Therefore, councillors, we're asking you to consider the impact of an increase in properties between 52 and 67% on facilities which are under pressure, including our primary school, which already exceeds safe levels on class sizes, on its hall capacity, its heating system and parking, and so cannot be safely grown with the standard Section 106 formula and yet another porter cabin. Our small village hall has no parking and cannot even accommodate the needs of our existing community. Our only other facilities are a pub, a garage and a convenience store. The local bus service is hourly and does not run in the evenings, on Sundays or bank holidays, forcing us to drive for everything else. Previous applications in the village have been rejected as unsustainable, including one where the housing supply was less than 5 years, and our sustainability hasn't improved since. The 67% increase in properties will significantly increase traffic in our village and contribute to problems on the busy HGV route that squeezes through our tight mini roundabout, and also in surrounding villages, such as our main route to the A6 through Barrow. The dangers of crossing the main road deters parents from walking their children to school. It's impossible to safely cycle anywhere, as the HGV route to Loughborough has no cycle tracks or footways, and the same goes for Barrow. Traffic access to the site is planned through two routes. Souters Lane is an unadopted private road which is narrow with no footpaths or lighting. The alternative is through a housing estate where the roads are narrow.
1 minute remaining.
With residents' cars parked. This route also provides access to the Greyhound Pub, which has permission to build a hotel on its car park. Burton has very little local employment, so there is no economic justification for this application. The Hawker development actually removes employment opportunities by converting offices to housing. If this application is approved, we urge the following mitigations. Utilities to be surveyed and upgrades planned our service centres. Councillors, Burton on the Wolds Parish Council urges you to deny this application.
Thank you very much. Now I call on the Board Councillor, Councillor Boker. Thank you, Councillor Boker. I don't have to explain the timing thing to you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
It's a good thing I'm not disabled because there's no chair. Okay.
You've just turned yourself off.
Oh, that was on. Right. As you have heard, the Parish Council objects to the application on the grounds that the impact would significantly and demonstrably outweigh its benefit. The Parish Council considers that the intention of policy WB12 of the Wolds Neighbourhood Plan, which they themselves devised, was to release the poultry farm site only in specific circumstances, which they believe do not apply in this case. I am also concerned that the recent conversion, as has already been mentioned, of the 91 residence units and the other planning application off Melton Road, which was given permission of appeal earlier this year for another 70 houses, is going to start a real and cumulative impact on the community, which, as you've heard, currently only has 420 houses. There obviously has to be some increase in infrastructure and services to accommodate this growth. As you've also heard, there are other concerns with regard to limited amenities and employment, poor public transport, highway safety, landscape impact, school capacity, and the impact on the amenity of neighbouring dwellings. Additionally, the Parish Council highlights concerns regarding highway safety and the ongoing maintenance of Souters Lane, which is a private road. The current village hall was built on a small central site to serve a much smaller community and has no parking facilities, giving little scope for accommodating an expanding community. They have stated, Parish Council, that should this development take place, they would expect a significant contribution via 106 towards a new community meeting place, as stated in their neighbourhood plan. I wholeheartedly support this requirement and would ask the committee to request that this is put in the 106 agreement as an off-site amenity. If you look at page 43 of your report, there is some detail on the 106 contributions. So perhaps this new meeting place could be achieved by building a new indoor sports facility, which does not only include the swimming pool and indoor courts, but also includes an additional meeting room for functions and leisure, etc. Therefore, in conclusion, I do consider that the development will result in an overdevelopment of Burton Village, causing a cumulative harm from a lack of infrastructure and services. I'm also worried about the resulting traffic being directed through the existing housing estate. And obviously, I do feel that there could be a lack of 106 monies, which actually contribute to combating that cumulative harm. However, I do believe that with enough 106 money, some of that harm can be mitigated, such as the monies, as you saw in the presentation, that are going to Burton Primary School, which needs to be enlarged and remodelled to accommodate the growing number of children going to school there. Of course, a swimming pool for the school to use as well would be excellent. So if you decide to support officers' recommendation to permit this
1 minute remaining.
Okay, to permit this application, subject to a 106 agreement which mitigates the harm, I would urge you as a committee to make sure that 106 agreement is actually comprehensive to Burton's requirements. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor.
Still regulations, unfortunately, indoor sports facilities or provision thereof for facilities for that are not still compliant, so that's why that's a form part of the proposed 106. We can't ask for that. Separately, on the point mentioned about monies towards a meeting place within the actual village itself, I can draw members' attention to page 56 of the actual report. 56, sorry, the actual committee reports. There's two paragraphs there, specifically paragraphs 51 and 52, that are taken from the most recent appeal decision within the settlement, which was as of June 24th this year, which was when Dr. Milton wrote Burton Wells, which the inspector did consider in the round the provision of the money source section 106 monies that could contribute towards a meeting space as per the neighbourhood. Unfortunately, as part of that, the inspector did conclude, given the fact there was no facility identified or no land identified, there was no actual specific amount identified, that that in itself couldn't be still compliant either, therefore it couldn't form part of any lawfully form part of any 106 agreement. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I have four councillors willing to speak at the moment. Councillor Gerrard.
These are the old buildings that are on the site. They do have some storage in them, but these are the operational buildings. The site itself is an operational chicken unit.
Yeah.
All these.
Yeah. But, has it been cleared?
In terms of the second question about the potential of the site being used for human habitation, residential development, environmental health officers have come back and asked for a specific number of conditions to be imposed on it. With land contamination or contaminants around any kind of remediation work that's required. That tends to be the general practice, certainly when they're removing
foul pest or something, what it's called, is 2 years. And would we be told of the results of testing on the phase?
I think that might be part of the condition with building regulations, but it would have to come back to this committee for discussion in the long run.
I can perhaps just shed a bit more light on that. The results do have to be submitted to the council along with the mitigation strategy to deal with anything that finds. That will be scrutinised and looked at by our environmental health officers, who are experts in that sort of thing, and they will provide us with guidance to allow us to assess that information. Just going back to the mix required in the condition, you'll see it's got to be based on an evidence of need. So at the moment that evidence is taken from Hedna, but also a consideration of the character and design of the area. So it will be a balance, and that's a reserve matters issue, and that will be considered awfully as part of the reserve matters. Accommodation of 105 additional patients. there is no Barrow is the nearest service centre to the Wolds. There is no direct bus service from Barrow to the Wolds or from the Wolds to Barrow. If you live in the Wolds and you want to access facilities in Barrow and you don't have a car, you have to get a bus into Loughborough and then have to get into Barrow. And I feel we have this over and over again, and I'm becoming more and more concerned that this is not sustainable, because we are relying on people using their cars to access all of these facilities. Because the buses are not there, you have numbers of other cars there on the roads, and where are these cars going to park when they get to Barrow? Or Sile Bay or Horn, those villages, those larger centres, also lack facilities, sustainable facilities, and we're just pushing more and more pressure on those service centres from those villages. I think this is a step too far for Burton.
Thank you very much, Councillor. When we're discussing the conditions that the local highways authority put forward, that's what they put forward in 2015. But if you want to go back to the officers and the councillors now, I do have a further 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 speakers, and I will then close the list at that, unless someone brings forward absolutely new items. So,
yes, afternoon, Chair. I want to pick up the points that the Councillor Eric Andrews mentioned there about the additional accommodation of residents and the actual doctor's surgery. That information or that requirement, that request for that contribution came from the NHS. We did consult them, and rightly or wrongly, I'm assuming they've got a provision or a sliding rule as to what they would look at, and that's it's very similar to county council asking for sustainable bus passes and so forth. It's, I think we can only report what we're told to actually put in the reports or our findings by our consultees on those matters, I'm afraid.
I do understand all that, thank you.
Thank you very much. And I go to Councillor Poland.
Thank you, Chair. I've got to say my concerns around sustainability are similar. The same thing Councillor Forrest is first put so eloquently, I won't waste time by repeating those. I think in a world where we had a 5-year land supply or more, I would be minded to vote against this, if I'm honest with you, but we don't live in that world. We live in a world where we have a 3.3-year land supply, and we're looking at a site that is brownfield within the neighbourhood plan. And that, for me, is a key point of consideration. To be honest with you, so this is not something necessarily, as I say, in a world where we had five amount of five, the considerations are different, but we are where we are with it. The concerns, let's say clarification, I would like it, is over the South of the Road ownership. It's not, it's privately owned. Who owns it? Is there guarantee of access to the site in perpetuity? Is it possible for it to get to a point where it can be adopted? Because clearly the amount of traffic that's going to be generated by an application like this is going to be quite significant, and along a private road where there's no guarantee of repair and upkeep, we could be, you're potentially looking at problems in years to come. I can easily imagine a situation where they go in, there's potholes, let's just say that's not our problem, Gov. And the residents are going, well, whose problem is it? And I think we need to establish that now, to be quite honest with you, and get that down, if we can, as a condition, so that we know that if this thing is built, we have a road that someone will look after forever. And I would like, if it was possible, to have that as a condition. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Mr. Robson, did you want to come back now, or after the other?
through you, Chair. And that's to respond to what Councillor said there. In terms of the ownership of Salters Road, it's, you can see from the actual slide of the this is the actual road itself. It's assumed that officer, I do know there is one of the objections on that responsible for that was from a group, given it, I'll refer to it now, the Water Review Management, which are part, I believe, part of the actual owners of other parts of the road which serve Seal Close and the properties around there. In terms of the actual ownership, upkeep it and so forth, and the possibility of actually being adopted at some point, it's not a road that could be, I'm not a power engineer, but it's not, to me, it's not a road that could be readily adoptable in terms of the standard, the width, what it would require, the amount of investment potentially required to bring to an adoptable standard. I mean, that's all I can possibly say on that particular element. In terms of the maintenance towards the actual road or potential upkeep and so forth, there is a construction environmental management plan proposed as part of the conditions, which that sometimes, I have seen in the that looks at routing and our routing agreement and so forth, and some of those can include a survey of the road and its condition now and then afterwards, and so any heavy goods movement down there which could potentially disturb the road, create potholes, or potholes slightly larger, that can be actually looked at and performed as part of that survey.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Yeah, thanks for you, Chair. I just wanted to clarify a few points. Salters Lane, whilst it's the main access for the poultry farm, isn't supposed to be the main access for the housing. If we can put the side up, it is proposed to be retained as a secondary access, but the main access is going out onto the existing, and forgive me, what's the St. Leonard's Close. That makes sense, you know, St. Leonard's Close has got footpaths, it's adopted, and the site abuts it, so you could get a direct access out. And if people were walking their children to the school, highly likely they'd go out of that access on the footpath, it's a more direct route anyway. So even if in the future there was a problem with South of Lane, which, you know, it's the main access for the site currently, and that's there is still dual access, so I don't think it's a big issue, although there's no reason to believe that would ever be stopped or thought there would ever be an issue. Just to come back on a few points about the sustainability of the site, just like I've been speaking, I just wanted to pick up and remind members that we've had a very recent appeal decision on the site next door. Now, the inspector did consider Burton to be sustainable. You know, it did look at services. We have to look at services also. But that is a material decision that he made, albeit, you know, we are in a no 5-year land supply situation. So he did find that. And also, all the service providers, so the education authority, the health authority, they have said that they can, with contributions, meet the needs of this development. So my concern is if you go down that route, it's how you would justify that it's not sustainable, and that's just to throw that out for members to start thinking about that, given those things on the table.
Thank you very much. Councillor Grimley, then I have Councillor Grimley, Councillor Hamilton, Councillor Ransom, and Councillor Tillotson. I'll then close the discussion and then someone has something really different or extra to come back on. So, Councillor Grimley.
Thank you, Chair. I would also sympathy for the objectives by two within village, and the villages that I represent are being bombarded with housing applications at this present time. It is, certainly does have an effect on the way of life, and I'm concerned. Also, regarding infrastructure, I hear what people say, but the reality is, but I don't know how we can object it, the reality is that we see money is put in for infrastructure that never really alleviates the problems of the additional residents, particularly up in the doctor's service, the percent of my money is in that never doing their have the doctor's surgeries, so I'm not quite sure how we can object on that one. I suppose one of the questions I've got down to whether we've got culture for on the employment, do we know how many people are employed there at the moment? Because there was concerns about loss of employment in the area. But I think talk about travel packs. Talk about putting travel packs in. Never sure the uptake on these. I think these are a bit of sort of lip service, but I think it is in the policies. I'm not quite sure how we can object with that. The redeeming feature of this, I don't see will be that this particular site not taking tally other developments which are separate, is that it is a brownfield site, I think, has been identified in the neighbourhood plan. So I think on balance, given the 5-year sort of housing supply issues,
thank you very much, Mr. Grimley. I'm not sure about the number of employees there. I know some time ago the Hawker Siddeley site employed a lot of people. I think when Mr. Ross nor Mr. Jackson come back,
we're not very far away from that yet, just that the internet's a little bit slow.
A few moments. Okay, so while he's finding the number of people were employed at the chicken farm or the poultry farm, I'll move on to Councillor Hamilton.
Thank you, Chair. The list of questions I have now already been asked by councillors and answered by officers, so I have no other questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Councillor Hamilton. Councillor Ransom.
Thank you, Chair, for this. This is actually an outlining plan permission, am I correct, Mrs. Jackson? Yes? Now, do correct me if I'm wrong. If we actually once the outlying plan permission, if we are minded around the table to give it tonight, it can come back to us again, can it? Or not? That's one question, or am I delusional?
It's covered by the constitution in the same way as all other applications. Yes. So if the ward councillor can call it into funds committee, the same as this one's been called in.
Thank you. That's the clarity on that. And one other thing, I was actually seeing that this is like everybody, like Councillor Hamilton, it's been, all the questions have been asked, and it is in the neighbourhood plan, the Burton neighbourhood plan, as a brownfield site. Now, they said the infrastructure, is that possible to be actually overseen by ourselves to make sure that goes in before any houses? That are, I know I'm asking questions that are probably dumb, but I would like to think for the benefit of the residents, if they're around the table tonight, give permission for this outlining planning permission, could we have some sort of surety that this can actually be the infrastructure, because of the roads, I do know the area very well, I do know it's a brownfield site, I know it's a working site, and all the rest of it. Can you give some clarity on that for us?
Yes. So if I just clarify, I'll clarify your questions. With regards to the brownfield, if you want to clear it up, don't want any misunderstanding in the room, the site is part of the brownfield register, which is held by the borough council. Yes. In terms of the neighbourhood plan, the site is identified as a reserved site for housing, subject to certain criteria being met. Now, those criteria haven't been met, but the site is still a reserved site for housing. So that, just to make things clear, so there's no misunderstanding. With regards to the monies, there will be certain... It's hard hard to say. Normally that would be part of the negotiation. So what would happen is, if it's normally done from commencement, because obviously it's mitigating the people that are going to be living there. So if education say, well, actually we need this a year before, we need the money for the primary school a year before people start to move in there because we need to do this work, then that will be built into the trajectory for the 106. So I can't sit here and say, yes, we'll collect all the money up front. You know, we have to make the site viable, and you know, this is a working site, and there will be costs involved in getting the development off the ground and making it viable. But what I can say is, in negotiating the final wording of the 106, all of the service providers will be involved in making sure that they're happy that they're getting the money at an appropriate time so they can deliver that service.
Thank you very much for that. It's just that I want clarity on that because of the roads and things like that first. You see, normally the roads, what I would like to be assured on is that the roads, because of the area it's in, one is not adopted and one is adopted, one of the roads, and needless to say, human nature as it is, they will actually use both, you know? Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've got Councillor Tillotson, and last but not least, Councillor Campbell. And as I say, it has to be new discussion if you don't mind.
Thank you. Yes, I've got some sympathies with Councillor Forrest's comment about bus service. I'm old enough to remember when local authorities were responsible for bus services, and maybe we could have done something about that. Hopefully, though, as Burton grows, maybe our bus company will see it as commercially viable to run a bus from Burton to Barrow. Let's hope so. I'm pleased to see a development for once on a brownfield site. And I know personally, I'd like to live next to 60 houses rather than a chicken farm. So I think Councillor Grimley proposed accepting officer recommendation. Is that right?
Yes.
In that case, I'm happy to second the proposal.
Thank you very much, Councillor Tillotson. Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Chair. Very quick. So it's a brownfield site. What did it own it? How did it try to move the premises? I presume it's from a greenfield site. So in a way, we're losing a greenfield site. Thank you.
We can't resume that, I'm afraid, Councillor. That needs to come forward. We can't discuss prospective application terms. So, Mr. Robson, did you want to come back for the last word, or Ms. Jackson? Are you still searching for numbers?
I am indeed.
I think, on average, we can presume that a large chicken farm doesn't employ hundreds of people. But
is it possible would be able though?
Okay. I see councillors are very concerned about this, and it's not usual, but may I ask the agent, Mr. Burney, do you happen to know how many people are employed by the chicken farm at this current time? We quite understand if you don't, but if you can give an approximate figure, that would be helpful. I'm quite prepared, if you can speak up, to take it from where you're standing rather than bring you all the way down.
Yeah, I'm not entirely sure, but it is quite a small team, around 6 or 8 people.
Yeah.
We've got still on there, and then some people helping.
Okay. So, thank you very much. So, just for the recording, we're saying approximately 6 to 8 people, possibly.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes, so we have proposed officer's recommendation by Councillor Grimley. It has been seconded by Councillor Tillotson. For as the conditions and recommendations laid out in your report. So could I see a show of hands, all those in favour, please? All those against? Abstaining?
Thank you very much. Now, and I will just allow the room to prepare, and I believe the next application, Home Farm at BB County, where you're going to withdraw from your seat after the area. And I'm now also going to hand over the officer, Councillor. I would also like to say that for the next three items, Councillor Bentley is going to take over chair of the meeting. I think we have a change of officer. I think we are now getting the application is on page 64.
Thank you, Chair. Before we move on, so we need 5 minute comfort break, or are we all good?
All good.
Thank you. Just let Mr. Lewis get in. I'm sorry. Okay, thank you. So now I've got item 4P/18/2600/2 is going to be presented by Mr. Marshall. Mr. Marshall? Thank you, Chair. Okay, item 4, this is a planning application only for the conversion of the existing farmhouse, Home Farm, and associated farm buildings, and the erection of new buildings to form 7 dwellings together with a rear extension to an existing cottage, together with associated car parking, landscaping, and access. So we are in BB. The site is edged in red. The buildings, which are sort of shaded in dark grey, are the existing farm buildings. So to break it down for you, this is the existing cottage. It's not listed, but it is a building of some age. This is the listed farmhouse here, which adjoining that is a range of historic farm buildings arranged around a sort of courtyard, traditional style setting. This building here is a cart shed. And this building here is a Dutch barn, a metal pole Dutch barn, which is proposed for demolition as part of the application. In terms of the site and surroundings, it is located within the BB conservation area. BB is defined as a small village or hamlet, so in planning policy terms, it is in the countryside. The two nearest neighbouring properties are one or two church cottages. Again, they're not listed. But All Saints Church is a Grade 2 star listed building. The site fronts onto Main Street, and in terms of other sort of site characteristics, there is a brook that runs along the site's south western boundary. This is a satellite image of the site, basically showing the same thing, obviously the site edged in red. But here, obviously, you get to understand slightly more about the characteristics of the site and also the buildings that are on the site as well. As you can see from the satellite image, that some of the buildings, or all the buildings, are in a poor state of repair. Again, this is Main Street. This is the Grade 2 star listed church. Obviously, the site forms part of the setting of that. And then there is sort of green space, which is an integral part of the central park conservation area on the other side of Main Street. So moving on to photographs of the site. So this is Main Street looking in a southerly direction. So this is the unlisted cottage that directly fronts onto Main Street, and then the farmhouse beyond that you just see there. Again, you can see in terms of the theme of the photographs, you'll see that in terms of the deteriorated state of the buildings. Picture on the right hand side is the listed farmhouse itself, obviously the cottage. Obviously you can see there the relationship with the church tower and the Grade 2 stars to church building. So moving on to the sort of the rear of the site, this forms part of that rear range which is attached to the main farmhouse, known as the grain dryer. And then this picture or image is looking from Main Street. So this is the side of the farmhouse. And then this is the sort of principal agricultural building, the barn, which is attached to it. Again, another picture looking at the barn, looking east. So this is the principal farm range again, as I said, in a poor state of repair, but they are close to existing buildings. And then beyond that, you can just about make out the cart shed there to the rear of the site. And finally, this picture is taken from the side of the cottage. So this is the rear sort of range of the cottage. And then obviously those associated farm buildings set behind there, which are attached to the farmhouse. And then this building here, you can see, is the Dutch pole barn, which is proposed for removal as part of the application. Obviously, it's not suitable or appropriate for conversion. So this is the sort of site layout and the ground floor plan of the proposed development. So as I said, it proposes seven dwellings, two of which are already existing. So there's the existing farmhouse and the existing cottage. So both of those would be retained as three-bedroom dwellings with associated parking and access. So the site is served by two access points. Both of them are existing. Obviously, they would be formalised as part of the proposals. So in terms of this access, this would serve the cottage with its three parking spaces here and its garden in this location.